Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Guys, have we got some exciting news for you? Bonus episode, baby!
Oh yeah, when Ram and Tom get together, they're not people anymore, they're animals by the name of the wolf and the owl.
Oh, I love that. I love when you do that voice.
You look so, like, nice, just lying there, just glazed in your own sweat.
Yeah, I've just been for a run, guys. Just been for a run.
Like, a proper run as well, because, like, you've got, like, sort of 90s film sweat. Like, the way that you feel, the sweat is, like, sort of on your T-shirt is, like, exactly how it would fall in Teen Wolf or something.
I wish I could tell you it was for exertion. It's just heat.
Is it that hot down where you are?
Well, it's quite warm. I also have discovered that I run slower than anyone else that runs in Crawley, it seems. I just get, the number of times I get overtaken.
What, ran, like, lapped?
Not lapped. No, I just run around the neighbourhood, around Maidenbow.
Let me make you feel better about yourself.
Okay, go on.
In the running world, right, you've got to think about it like being like a prison, right? You're not the toughest, but you're probably one of the most recognisable people on A-Wing, right? So when other people see you, like, sort of jogging, running down the road, and they see you, they're like, I'm going to fucking show him, I'm going to overtake him. So they probably exert themselves that little bit harder just to whiz past you and fucking, you know. And actually, so in a way, not only are you getting fit yourself, but you're actually getting other people's heart rates up to sort of whiz past you.
I wish I could believe that's what the thought process is. What I suspect the thought process actually is that somebody runs up behind me and they think, oh my God, if I can't make it past that fucking slug, I might as well give up. Do you know what? Sometimes I don't even think they are even trying to overtake me. I just think naturally. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I sometimes think to myself, I don't know if this is faster than walking what I'm doing.
Mate, I say that all the time. That's probably one of the things when people say about quotable Tom Davis things.
Yeah.
It's one thing I've said quite a lot.
Is it?
When you watch certain people running, I'm like, you might as well walk, mate.
Is that your little line, is it?
Yeah.
A little, so not quite as supportive when you're off the podcast, are you, my wolf?
No, I don't say it.
You know, because if somebody emailed in and said, "Dear Wolf and Owl, little bit of an embarrassing thing. I've started running, and I'm running at quite a slow pace, and I find it a little bit embarrassing. I kind of feel a bit self-conscious." You'd go, "Well, first of all, let me say this: you are one of the greatest human beings that's ever emailed into the podcast. As we say, I'm going to tell you this." You running is one of the most incredible achievements that anyone in the human race has ever strived to excel themselves to do. So do not let these doubters knock you back, okay? You run. And I'm going to say what I always say on these things. You do you. And then you sit back and eat a protein bar or something and wait for me to give my advice.
Right, look, listen. Little Romney clown, right? Listen to me, right? The reason I say this about running, and this is genuine, right, is running can be very, very bad for you if you're not doing it properly. Right. Like really bad for your joints, your knee, your hips, your ankles, your calves, right? It can be very...
I get it. You don't have to name everything.
Your legs, yes, basically, right?
Yeah, sure.
So it could be very bad for you, mate, if you're not doing it properly. Actually, walking at a fast pace is proven through science to be better for you. So... you've fallen into the trap of doing, and I don't want to dig you out here because I love you, but you basically want to be going around all your sort of like members clubs and all your fucking, you know, your cool people that you look around with and turn around and go, oh yeah, you went for a run this morning, really knocked your pipe out, right? Instead of going, I went for a really sensible, fast walk. You want to be known as Rom the Runner.
First of all, I'm not a member of any members clubs. And if any of the two of us are a little sucking on that fucking membership dick, it's you, all right? Secondly, the idea that if I was a member of one of those clubs, that I'd start talking about what fucking exercise I'd done that day. Such a damning indictment of what I bring to a conversation. Is if I turn up and go, oh, fucking hell. Yeah, been on a little run. Yeah. Having said that, that is what I started the podcast with.
You started the podcast with it and you started our conversation this morning with it. So do I think that in a scenario where you walk into like, you know, I don't know, like the cool lounge or wherever you're like a member of, and you go walking in and you're like, right, opening gambit, you went for a run this morning. Oh, fucking hell. Sorry, Sue, love, can I get us a flat white with oat milk and sound it's good for aching limbs after my big run?
Mm. And then you'd bowl in, you go, like, fucking, I haven't eaten for ages. Jesus Christ. Fucking catering's a nightmare. Oh, my God. How are you supposed to get a day's work done? I've fucking not had anything decent for the last couple of hours.
Do you feel any aches and pains after your run?
No, but I actually... I was quite rude to you just then. I would say that I was a bit disparaging of your advice, but I do actually agree with you. One of the things that I was sort of worried about when I started running, I'm talking like I've got some sort of running career under my belt. I haven't at all. But one of the things I was worried about is loads of runners. I don't know if it's a myth or not, but runners seem to have shit knees, don't they? So anyway, I looked into it and I basically have had to... This is so boring. I'm actually boring myself. I can't even bother to finish the sentence.
No, come on, tell us all. That's why we're here, we're a support network.
I researched what kind of running technique you've got to have to not injure your knees.
Did you practice in the living room? You did, didn't you?
Do you know, I really thought about lying to you to save my own sort of dignity there, but no, I did practice in the living room.
What, like little sprints or like slow?
No, not sprints, but just sort of, you've got to have your knees straight and you don't want to hit heel first and all that shit.
Yeah, you've got to hit toe first, right?
Yeah. So I had to sort of practice that bit. And I bought some like ridiculously expensive running shoes that are supposed to stop you injuring yourself. Am I a mug?
Look, I love you with all my heart. You have to be fucking very careful, man. Because the thing is, right, once you get into the running world, it's a bit like a cult, right?
Mm.
You know, and you will.
How is it a cult? I'm not talking to anybody or engaging or socializing anybody about
this. You've brought new trainers. You're going online to find out how to do it properly, even though it's actually in your psyche to do it properly. Right? Tell you what, right? Me and you are out in the woods. A massive bear comes towards us, right? And I'm like, run. And you're going to go, oh, God, I forgot how to run. Where's my YouTube clip? Your instinct will fucking let you run.
Yeah, but I don't intend to be running from the bear long enough for it to jeopardize my joints. I'm just going to sprint away from a fucking bear. I'm not worried about my technique then. My only technique, if we're sprinting away from a bear, is being faster than you.
Which I know, we both know that you're not.
That's the impression that you're under.
Yeah, but...
Let me tell you something. Within 15 seconds, the bear would be chowing down on a big hunk of wolf. Well, because I'd be fucking out of there.
Mate, I still know, and every listener of this podcast knows, you chickened out, you blacked out, mate, of the big race. So it's still there, baby, when you want it.
I didn't chicken out the race. It just wasn't convenient for us to run. And you started making it a big thing, talking about it on socials and shit like that. Walking around King Gary, just going, oh, yeah, have you heard what's going on tomorrow? Yeah, don't listen. We're going to have to push back that scene because Rom and I are having a massive fucking race. So, mate, doing all that.
This is the thing that you don't get. And obviously, we talked about some of my sporting endeavours on here before, right? Like the cycle and the lake. I think probably about 90% of sport is mental endurance and, like, me getting inside your brain.
What's the point you're trying to make here?
Well, like, because I actually think it could be quite a close race. But you didn't know I thought that. You thought, I definitely thought I'd win, didn't you?
I don't know what you think. It's impossible to know. But I do feel like you're sort of fucking with me a bit now. I do feel slightly outmaneuvered. I've got to be honest.
Look, I'd like to go for a run with you, but a friendly run. Like, that would be one of my dreams.
So a couple of people I know have said that. Have gone, do you want to go on a jog together?
Be careful on that.
Why? What do you mean?
Don't go with it. Look, I think me and you are probably going to be about a similar sort of standard of running.
Yeah, okay. So this is what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I don't want to agree to go on a run with somebody and then they gamble off and then they're just constantly having to come back and go. Then hear them going, oh, this probably wasn't a good idea, actually. I sort of thought we'd be at a similar pace. But if you're going to be going like this the whole time, then it's not really worth my while or whatever. I don't want to deal with that shit.
That happened with me when I went swimming with a friend. And I scarcely have ever been back in a pool since. Like, seriously swimming in a pool.
Okay. Can I just ask you something? Any of the things that you say on this podcast true?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, but a few weeks ago, when I was on a holiday, you're talking about how as soon as you get near a swimming pool, you jump in.
Yeah,
because you want to show off to whatever girl you're with. You also told me that if we were aquatic animals, that you'd be fucking king of the castle. You told me that you believe that you belong in the water. So what are you telling me now? Who did you get in the pool with? Aquaman? What happened?
Listen, I still love the pool. If me and you were on holiday, I'd race you to the pool and jump in it, and I'd fucking probably spend the whole day just larking about and swimming underwater, and I love that. What I mean is, I went swimming with someone in the way that you're talking about running, where it's like, you know, we'll swim together, you know, hit a bit of front crawl, breaststroke, have a conversation, and I just couldn't keep up. And it really put a blight on what I thought of my swimming technique.
Do you know what the biggest problem with that is? Is that either of you thought that was a good idea? I mean, the idea that you want to socially swim with a mate, I can't imagine what set of circumstances would lead you to think that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, I'm really enjoying having a drink with you. Maybe we should do this in the pool.
Wait, there's a club, swimming club. So that's what people do. They'll get together, have a swim.
Yeah.
Look, that's again why golf is amazing.
Yeah.
Because different levels you can play, but you can still win.
Yeah. I'm still yet to achieve a level of golf. Do you know what? I've been playing golf for what, 4 months, and I've still not been on a golf course.
What? I
just go to the driving range, hit a few balls, come back and go, maybe next time I'll go out on the course. I think this is starting to feel like losing my virginity.
How often have you been at the driving range?
I haven't been at all because I went on holiday. I mean, since I've been back, I've been working. So, but I'm looking to go next week. But again, look, I'm back to square one now. I don't do it regularly enough. So,
but you can train in the house, mate. You can do it like number one, get a little mat, right? By that, I don't mean like a little bloke called Matt.
Oh my god, I can't. Do you know what? Oh my god, thank you for that little time traveling journey back to Jonglers in 1986.
The reason I find it so funny is when we were growing up, we used to have a mate called Matt, and he was quite small, and he used to sneak into people's gardens and nick their like underwear off the washing line. And his nickname was the Underpant Gnome. And I don't know why I just thought of him just when you said that.
Why were you hanging out with a bloke that stole underwear from people's gardens?
He was in the circle of friends I was in, and he was
if a friend of mine said, oh, I've been nicking underwear from people's gardens, I would say, I don't think I want to hang out with you. I mean, and if he asked why, I'd say, because I think you're flirting with the edges of being a sex offender.
Someone's nan saw him do it, and that's why we all found out. And
Someone's nan.
Yeah.
So was he nicking nan's underwear?
He'd be like loads of different. He didn't like, he'd nick lots of underwear. I think it was more like the adrenaline of running off, he said, which again, I suppose you'd sort of understand in a way, like, because as a fellow runner, he used to like the adrenaline of being chased with a claw full of underwear. That was his thing.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Well, that's one person I'm glad you've named. Matt, I hope you're on some sort of list somewhere.
I haven't seen him for years, but yeah. I suppose they move away and stuff, don't they?
They move away. They get moved to different prisons or whatever.
I had an awful situation yesterday. So I'm in this apartment I'm in, right?
Mm. You're in an apartment?
Well, yeah, I was saying apartment in the sort of loosest possible way.
Okay.
And I've got, it's cold at the moment. I've got a little bit of I'm feeling a bit run down. Yeah. So I was sort of like, I'm going to have a hot bath, try and smell it out.
Right.
So I'm in the bath and two guys let themselves into my flat to do some maintenance work.
What?
I'm lying in the bath. The bath's like at least fucking 2 foot small, too small for me, right? So yeah. I'm already squeezed into this bath and I'm sort of lying there, sort of like eyes closed, trying to sort of like meditate, you know, just sort of have concentrate on my breathing. And then these two guys come in and start really chatting and laughing together. I've never felt so vulnerable in my whole life. Like, I was just lying in this bath. So it's so pathetic. I had to go, I'm in the bath. And then they started really laughing and they sort of, I could hear one of them doing an impression of me downstairs. It was so demeaning. And now I'm really nervous about bumping into them. So I had to, and I lay in the bath. They were here for about 45 minutes doing work. I had to lie in the bath for 45 minutes.
God, I'm so lucky you didn't freeze to death.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Why? You knew I was going to say that, did you?
Yeah.
Why did you respond to that like a fucking tired wife?
I did keep on filling up with hot water. Yes,
I'm going to freeze to death because I told you that story about being in the bath. Yes, very funny, Ramesh.
No, but I was careful to keep it topped up with hot water.
I love a little top up.
Oh, especially when you switch the tap on with your toes.
Oh, beautiful.
You don't have to move. It's so fucking blissful.
Oh.
So blissful. We've got this. It feels weird doing a bonus episode. We haven't done one for ages.
Yeah, we've got to do some emails. Do you want to do some emails?
Yeah, how's the swan been? How is she? Just checking in.
Well, the swan hasn't selected these emails today. So let me just preempt this by saying the selection might not be. The swan's a little bit. She's been a little bit busy. So I told her that she didn't have to do it this week. I don't know. I'm lying. I forgot to tell her that we're doing a bonus episode. So
I was going to say it was so clearly a lie. That's so clearly a lie. It's also like the pathetic, like most awful lie I've ever heard. Like you literally berated me for lying about swimming, and then you told the most pointless lie I've ever heard. Yeah, she's really busy and stuff at the moment. So yeah.
I mean, she is busy, but the reason that I've chosen the emails is because I forgot to tell her. Okay, dear Wolf, Owl, and the Swan, your sweet. This is actually we're sort of being accused of something here. So I'm just going to give you a heads up. All right. Dear Wolf, Owl and the Swan, your sweet, sweet friendship is clear to hear across the airways, but sometimes I really struggle to buy how close you are. I hope I'm wrong, but for example, this week Tom said, text me your address. Other times he said, how old is Theo? I can only go from my friendship groups where I know addresses, ages, kids' names, etc. Is it important? And this is the real kicker. I bet the Swan knows her best friend's details. Love the hedgehog.
Number one, hedgehog. I don't put any clarity or any, like, knowing, like, I don't know hardly anyone's birthday or anyone's name. And if you think for a second that I know all of my friends' addresses, you are dizzy as heck. Like, I don't even know people's numbers anymore. That's what a phone does. Like, honestly, you know, it's different. People have different barometers of how they judge things, you know? Like, for me, yeah, I don't know Ramesh's address. I don't know how old his three children are. I don't even know what their middle names are, but in a world of closeness, if ever I've needed a shoulder to cry on or someone to go to and like with any of my problems and chat it out, I can tell you 100% Ramesh will be there. And that is yeah, that's how I judge closeness. And that's how I judge the vibe that we have between us. So maybe we should just get her an address book and just put her addresses in it. Well, I should get your address tattooed on my butt.
It did make me think this email, actually, a little bit. I've got to be honest with you, because I, first of all, I don't, like, even my close friends, I can never remember how old their kids are. Sometimes I get nervous when I'm about to ask about their kids, because I think, do I definitely know what their kids' name? Even if I do know what their kids' names are, I still start to get nervous as I go to talk about it. The thing that, so that's sort of normal, I think, not knowing addresses, blah, blah. I don't even know addresses of people. Like, I've been to people's houses and I still don't know their address. Do you know what I mean? I sort of know where it is or whatever. Like, but it did make me think, you and I have never been to each other's houses, right?
Yeah.
But so we only ever meet up when we're out and about or at work or whatever. But you're one of my closest mates. It's a weird thing, isn't it? I don't know if this is like, I'd love to know how common that is. Do you know what I mean? Because for whatever reason, because you and I don't live close to each other at all, there's just, we just haven't ever been to each other's house. I mean, we are going to remedy that very soon when you come around to my house.
We're not as crazy. But also,
an inaugural shit. But
if I lived near you, I'd be around your house at least four times a week.
Well, in light of that, we can only count our blessings, can't we?
Well, no, even if you were there, I'd probably stop by to see Lisa and the boys just to sort of like drop shit off and stuff.
Oh, God, the idea that I'd come back from like being out at work or something and then you're at my house just pottering about chatting to just you and Lisa leant over the kitchen table having a cup of coffee together. Oh, hello. Hello, stranger.
Yeah, I've just done your guttering for you, boy.
Just saying to Lisa, you've got to stop working so much.
Now, we're losing the house, obviously, since I've been living near you. Spending so much time around here. I've not taken on any new work.
So, Hedgehog, in answer to your question, I think it was just a genuinely sort of innocent inquiry, but struggle to buy how close you are was the...
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a kicker. And you know what? I think that is a telling sign of some parts of modern society that people would rather just think that nice things aren't always true and sweet things.
The swan.
Yeah.
She does have a go at me for not asking the right questions. So, for example, you know, whenever you've had news or I say, oh, Tom's, this is going on with Tom and that, she'll go to me, oh, right, when's that starting? And I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or she goes, how did that come about? And I go, I don't know. She goes, well, it's not the first thing I would have asked them.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, well, I'll arrange for you to have a fucking interrogation with them, shall I? Do you know what I mean? I don't know why I bothered telling this in the first place.
Yeah, but then I'm like, literally, every time I go to my sister's house, I have to text her and ask her for the address. I've been around there thousands of times. I have to text and go, what's your address again? I haven't got it memorised.
Does she get pissed off? Is she all right?
No, she just knows that I'm a fucking idiot who doesn't retain any kind of information.
Okay, well, listen, Hedgehog, I hope we answered your query there.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When it comes to fitness, what's real? How about when it really, truly fits your life? That's how Anytime Fitness sees it. Because our coaches see you. It's how they build personal plans that work wherever you are and focus on everything that matters, from fitness to nutrition to recovery. All so you can push yourself further than ever or just through the next rep. It's total 360 support for a real difference. That's Anytime Fitness. That's real AF. Visit anytimefitness.com.
This episode is brought to you by Fiat. A remix just hits different. The 2024 Fiat 500e is no exception. Cruise city streets in style with an all-electric ride that's fully equipped with an available premium JBL audio system. Explore the all-new 2024 Fiat 500e at Fiat.com. Fiat is a registered trademark of FCA Group Marketing SPA, used under license by FCA US LLC.
Okay, this is from Debbie.
Oh, one of my favourite names, an old classic.
This is quite a quick one. It's just in regards to
the niche. I don't think Debbie's like, hearing the name Debbie's like hearing a song you really like from back in the day. You just don't hear
Debbie. It's an old-fashioned name.
Yeah, I like the name Debbie. I think it's a good, earnest name.
Mm. Good morning. Hope you're all well. Love the podcast. Listen every week. Just listening to this morning's... So this is very new, this email.
Wow.
Just listening to this morning's podcast where you've mentioned the meat shortage.
Wow.
It's due to a gas shortage.
Wow.
Local butchers do not gas flush their packs like supermarkets do. What does the fuck is that mean? What's gas flushing?
Fuck knows, but I want to know.
I just thought you would have known because you sort of, you sort of know about this sort of stuff, don't you? Shall I look it up?
Look at gas flushing, please.
Gas flushed bacon.
Is it what? So there's
gas flushing. Carbon dioxide and oxygen are pumped into meat packaging to lengthen the meat's shelf life.
I'm not sure if I like that. So butchers aren't doing it, but supermarkets are.
So local butchers are not doing it, but supermarkets are.
Look, this is the time now. If you fancy a sausage or you fancy a burger or you fancy some chicken, go and support your local butchers. Do not succumb to the charms of gas flushing.
Yeah, I mean, do not succumb to the charms of something that you discovered existed, 45 seconds ago? And now you started a campaign against it.
It's the worst. It's just really knocked me for six.
I'm not a meat eater. I do like the idea of a local butcher, though.
Yeah.
Like, what's it like going into? What's it like going into?
Man,
a
it's fucking. Yeah, I sometimes.
What is your local? But who's your local butcher?
We've got two, but my favourite one is in our local garden centre.
Right.
Real group of zany characters who sort of know a lot about meat and stuff. You can pop in, have a chat, sort of. Sometimes when Catherine's having a look around the plants and stuff at the garden centre, I'm just going to butchers for a chat, even if I don't want any meat.
Oh, God, I bet they look forward to that.
If
there's anything worse than having a conversation with a customer, it's having a conversation with a customer that doesn't want to fucking buy anything.
No, but I'll go in and say, look, we got some new sausages on in at the moment. Sort of like...
Yeah, that's why it says new sausages in the window, Tom.
I was just like, how's kebabs? I suppose they're not sitting very well with the weather, that sort of stuff.
Oh my God. But do they give you like personalised little recommendations? They go, we've got a nice little cut of this and that.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest things in life, and actually, I'll tell you what, the Northerners are great for this, up north, they really revel in this, is I always think testing people for like to see how much they know about their profession. Because I think everyone should take real pride in what they do. Mm. So I think sort of saying like, oh, you know, what's the best cut of steak you have in today? Or, you know, like you when you went to get your trainers for running, I bet you really delved into it, got asked some pretty fucking big questions, right?
No, I bought them online actually.
Oh, right, well, you know, there goes the problem.
But I tell you what, fun little fact for you.
Yeah.
The shoes were recommended to me by Michael Payne, who does our very own theme tune.
Wow.
Yeah.
Michael. He is, by the way, let me just say, right, we talk about drippiness. Ron actually busting a pretty drippy look to that. Actually, I kind of like that vibe that you're going for. It's cool. You know, I like to look at myself as being a bit drippy.
I know why you're saying this, because you're looking so drippy.
No. But Michael Payne is like literally like one of my fashion idols.
Mm.
That guy is insane. Like, you know what? He is like, he's a style icon. I can't believe that he's not more known for his actual, genuinely styling of what he wears.
He does dress, Justin does, his real name's Justin.
Yeah.
He does dress incredibly.
Yeah, but
incredibly.
Like
his trainer game is...
Trainer game is good, but actually his matching of different styles and his bravery within some of the choices he makes is...
Bravery sounds like a bit of an insult, actually.
What, really?
No, yeah, it does a bit. In this context, if you turn up to meet me somewhere, right, and I said to you, "God, you're brave wearing that," would you take that as a compliment?
Yeah, I'd be like, "Thank you."
Okay, well, I don't know why I'm asking somebody who doesn't know the meaning of words or context.
He will put things together that I would go, "Fucking hell, that is a brave choice." That is like,
yeah.
and carry it off with aplomb.
With aplomb, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So much aplomb. And that's coming from you, who I think is pretty... I consider you to be pretty courageous with the stuff you wear. And I mean that as a compliment.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, it's good to know about the gas flushing. Ditch the supermarket, shop local. Support your local butcher, guys.
Wow, not just your, also your local grocer and your local chemist, other local shops.
Yeah, local fish and chip shop.
Bakeries. Oh, bakeries, man. I still
local go bakeries. Yeah. Still big up David. Coughlin's.
Yeah.
Shout out Coughlin's.
Coughlin's.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Next email. This is a very, very quick one. This is from Daryl Skipper. Everybody knows what Dom...
two names. Daryl Skipper. The Skipmeister.
Yeah. He says, everyone knows what Dom's is.
Right. Okay, well, I didn't. So that's... You completely ruined yourself, Skippy.
What do you mean?
Oh, I didn't know what it was.
Okay, yeah, he's not... Okay, we're taking that very literally.
Well, no, he said... He's tried to be really cool and say, oh, that everybody knows what it was. So there's one person in the world who didn't. So that's not everybody.
Yeah, but you do know what it is. When I just said it, you knew what it was.
Yeah, I do now, because you told me what it was.
Yeah, so as of now, this email's correct.
All right.
He didn't say everyone knew what Dom's is yesterday, did he?
Right.
He said everyone knows what Dom's. If you want to be a literal prick, here you go.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast now, right, to like email Ramesh.
Do not do this.
I didn't know what Dom's was, or I knew what Dom's was. Okay. No,
please don't do that. Don't do that.
And put Dom's in the headline.
Don't. Thank you so much. Do not do that. Thank you. But thank you, Daryl. Turns out I'm not a jargony sort of nerdy twat.
Oh, mate, you're king jargon.
Okay. This is from Georgia. Hi, Wolf Allen Swan. Love the pod. I wanted to share this with you to see if it's as weird as I think it is. No need to keep me anonymous, as if this gets on the pod, I'll be sharing it with my psycho of a mother. Me and my family have had a clear out, and I was looking through some old boxes last week, and I found a load of old teeth in a little box. There's got to be about 10 teeth in there, and I could tell they weren't human. I asked my mum why the fuck there were weird teeth in a box. And she said she keeps all the teeth our dogs lose when they're babies. Turns out she's got about six different dog's teeth in this box from all of our past dogs. Also in the same box was a kidney stone from our guinea pig that died 5 years ago, from my dad accidentally cooking it.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that story needs a bit of unpacking, doesn't it? But she doesn't elaborate on that at all. We started talking about these things and she openly said that when she dies, she wants to be cremated and mixed in a big pot with all our past animals that have also been burned.
Wow.
Is this as weird as I think it is? And do you or your people, you know, do people you know keep weird sentimental objects? I've heard about keeping children's teeth and umbilical cords as I work with kids, but dogs must be weird. I'm my mum's only daughter, and if she's so sentimental about these things, why the fuck haven't I got anything? Thanks, guys. If you read this, I definitely need you to see if I need to start looking for nursing homes. What do you think about this, Tom?
It would be easy to sit here and pour scorn or make little of this situation. I actually, in a way, think it's quite sweet. I think that, like, apart from the guinea pig story about boiling it, cooking it to death, and then finding out it had a kidney stone, which would make you worry about the guinea pig. Like, oh, what are they doing with me now? At least hopefully I'll be able to get rid of this fucking pain whenever I urinate, and then realising that you're actually going to be fucking boiled to death. I actually kind of think it's quite, as a dog owner, like, it's, I actually adore my dog. I'm in any position where I think I'll keep his teeth. I definitely will keep his, like, lead and stuff. But I think, I kind of get it with your mum. I think that she's holding on to something. It's something that's important. And also, it's like we had a long conversation the other day with someone about if there's, not to get too deep, but, if there's a God, and all that sort of stuff, and what happens about the afterlife and all that. And
you had a chat with someone about
that? Yeah, my friend Abraham. And I was like,
Is that really his name?
Yeah. So in my head, right, it's not about if there's a God or if all that sort of stuff. That's all. I'll let that be an argument between wiser and sort of more noble people. What I look at is, if you believe surely that there's something after this, right, like whatever that may be, is a better thought than just thinking for eternity I'm just going to be stuck in the ground or just burnt and then just thrown into the sea or whatever.
Yeah.
That there's somewhere that my spirit and my soul goes, right? It's like if you go on holiday, you're going to book and go on holiday and someone went, oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go to Portugal to so-and-so, and they're like, oh, it's shit there. You're not going to look forward to it, are you?
No.
You're just going to spend the whole time on the lead up to the holiday thinking it's going to be shit. So I think actually sort of sitting there and thinking, oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to make some plans because whatever happens after this is going to be better than this. You know, God or not God, whatever, and all that sort of stuff. And actually that your mum thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to be in a big pot with some teeth and some bits that I've kept from things that gave me pleasure in my life. I kind of dig that. I think that's kind of sweet. And I, you know, shout out your mum, Georgia. I think she's an absolute G.
Okay. Well, I really didn't expect you to have that take on it. I don't know. I don't have pets.
Have you ever had a pet?
Yeah, we had fish once. Oof. We had budgies as well.
Fish, by the way, I don't classify a fish as a pet. I'd say it's more like just buying a painting that moves.
Well, do you know what? I find that utterly unsurprising from you. I mean, I agree with you. It's like an ornament, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a pet.
Okay. Budgies?
Yeah, budgies are a pet, yeah. I'd call a budgie a pet. They've got character.
I was scared of them. And once my mum went out and the budgies escaped from the cage and she found me locked in the porch crying.
Wow, fucking hell.
I don't want the budgies to get in it. Because they could just like fly over your head and like, I sort of feel them sort of graze your hair and stuff. I found it really horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for you, but that's fucking hell. It's worrying to think of budgies and seeing you as being the most vulnerable member of the house and wait till your mum went out just to sort of break out of their little prison.
Exactly.
To get
exactly.
To you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is fucking scary.
Yeah.
That, you know what that means? It's basically every time you're eating dinner and like you're sitting there eating your spaghetti hoops and your alphabet or whatever, right? Yeah. And you're sitting there and you're sort of like chatting away.
What are you doing now? What are you doing now?
Well, I'm just saying. Right, you're sitting there with your brother, who's like, you sit there, and your brother's like laughing and joking, and every now and again they see you just looking over at them, like a little bit scared over your shoulder or whatever, and they're like, when he's on his fucking own in here, we're gonna fucking break out of this cage and fuck him up. That's basically what they've done.
Do you want to hear a really sad story about those budgies?
Go on.
Like my mum and dad used to have loads of parties, right? And used to go to loads of parties. Loads of Sri Lankans in sort of Crawley area and sort of South London and stuff. And so they always used to go around to each other's house. And one day they had a massive party around our house.
Yeah.
We put a cloth over the budgie's cage as you do at night. And they're sort of dancing to like Tamil music and stuff like that. Not the budgies, like everyone at the party.
Yeah,
The next day we took the blanket off. Both the budgies were dead.
What? Why?
I just guess they were like super racist. No, I think the noise like just must have just freaked them out.
Fucking hell. They died. Right. What did you think in your heart at that point?
What do you mean? What are you trying to get at?
Well, no, you were like fucking...
I was gutted.
You were terrified of them.
Yeah, but I didn't want them to die.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You may be like, that's sort of like how you enjoyed that sort of relationship. You had them like sort of like, you know, like people who go to sort of prostitutes and they like put... stand on someone's back with high heel shoes on.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Like be dominated and stuff.
Sorry, you think that I saw the budgies as like my dominant mistresses?
I'm just saying that might be what you're into.
That was S&M. Don't fly at me like that. Don't, please don't. No, carry on. No, don't stop.
Rubbish, why are your trousers around your ankles?
Why have you tied a budgie to you while you're wanking?
Could you just watch pornos like normal boys?
Okay. So, look, Georgia, in all honesty, I think Tom and I are slightly different on this. I find it a bit strange, if I'm being honest with you. But she's not harming anyone. So, you know, my motto is, if you're not harming anyone, it's probably all right.
Wowzers. Yet you were so horrible about Matt the Underpant, no?
He's stealing from people.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's robbery. Yeah. There's a victim there, I'd argue.
Yeah.
Next email. Howls and hoots, guys. What a nice little greeting.
Oh, that's a nice one. Yeah.
I find it really sweet how the wolf admires the owl's kids. He always has a lot of kind words to say about them, like they're mates of his. Yeah, they don't really like that. I'd like to hear the wolf interview the kids for a portion of the podcast. I can imagine the wolf would try too hard to impress them and fail miserably. This would be hilarious. Keep up the good work. Howls and hoots. So he's gone for it again. And that is from Rish the Fish. The reason I selected this email, Tom...
I just quickly say, at first I was actually genuinely really touched until he said about me trying to impress the kids and failing miserably. The saddest thing of it all, Ron, is that is genuinely my relationship with most of my friends' kids and kids that I work with, is me trying to be really cool and regressing to sort of what my life was like as a child myself, trying to be cool and failing miserably.
Well, I first of all, I think, I'm going to say this honestly, I think you're wonderful with our kids. Whenever you talk to them, I love the way you talk to them. You're not patronising. You're great. I actually think you're great with kids. I really, really do think that. The only exception I would say to that is when we were working with a group of kids on King Gary, when I would say that you and I consider myself to be all right with kids, do you know what I mean? You and I sort of regressed into two sort of thirsty little kids. And for some reason, we started behaving like we needed the acceptance of the group.
Yeah,
of children. I don't know what the hell happened to us.
What the most embarrassing part of that is that we were filming scenes with a range of boys who are from the age of, 12 to sort of, 13, 14. We didn't just regress to the age of kids. We regressed not like to the age, but also where our social standards would have been at the age of 13, 14. I mean, we weren't at the bottom of the pile, but we were pretty close to it. Like, you know. Yeah. Like, there was a boy there who did MMA fighting. There was a boy there who's had trials for Chelsea. These boys were so much fucking cooler than we were.
Alpha kids, weren't they?
Yeah. There was one kid there, genuinely, and there was a moment where I stood with you and we were both trying to make him laugh and think that we were cool.
Oh, God.
And he looked us up and down like we were pieces of shit. And I fast forward in my mind to when he got home that night and his mum and dad said, I was filming today. It's like, Yeah. Fucking Tom and Romesh are just so fucking thirsty. They're just trying to be cool in front of you.
He started telling me about comedians he'd actually heard of and liked.
Yeah. That was pretty awful for both of us. Mm. Yeah.
But the other thing is I find myself, and I don't know if you find this, if ever I see a kid that sort of looks like an outsider or is being bullied or whatever, I just remember what, and by the way, I don't want to over egg this. I wasn't like, you know, I don't want people that went to school with me, I think, God, you're really laying this on thick into your outsider status. But like, what I mean is like, I just feel sorry for kids. I always gravitate towards kids like that.
And then.
I think, and then I stop myself because I think the last thing this kid needs is a fucking adult going over and going, all right, buddy. This is making me cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what? It's a real trouble. Do you know, actually, just on this note, something, I'm just going to get his name up, something that's brought me incredible amount of joy this week, which seems weird as I'm just about to talk about children. But there's a guy called Francis Bourgeois, right, who's a train spotter on Instagram and TikTok, right?
Mate, I love this guy.
Right.
I love this guy. Is this the guy that has a GoPro on?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love this dude.
Like, on my life, I started following him. And every time this week I felt a little bit down or I felt a little bit like fucking life, whatever, I watch him like do like with the trains going past Like he is so fucking happy doing what he's doing. He's got his thing. He's like that. He doesn't need anything else, or like he's got his little mates that he does it with. Honestly, it's one of the most joyous things. In a world where we watch social media and it's like, I watch that fucking person on there, and it's, I don't like to be fucking negative. It's not my vibe. But I saw a thing yesterday of someone like putting a silly face and doing the whole thing going, oh yeah, this is the real me. Maybe I should be more silly on here. I'm like, then fucking be silly, you prick. Because every fucking post, you in a fucking Ralph Lauren jumper looking like you're fucking just walking off a catwalk. Be silly, have a good time, relax. Yeah, not everything's got to be this fucking hardcore fucking... Like, this guy is just frankly joyous. And when we look at social media, everyone should try and be like this guy.
Mate, this guy, right? So Rob Beckett introduced me to this guy. He just fucking loves trains, right? Yeah. And like, he'll sit there and a trainee lights comes past and the horn will go off. And I don't know, it's something pure about it. It's addictive.
Mate, what a great guy. He knows the driver's names.
I'd have him as a guest on the podcast.
He is the only person I'd have as a guest on this podcast. He is incredible. I mean,
it means nothing, you saying that, because a few weeks ago, you wanted a monk on. And a few weeks before that, you wanted fucking the head of Krispy Kreme on or whatever. I mean, it's just impossible to
know. Mate, this guy is...
I love this guy. Mate,
I would like to
mate,
just show up, find out where he's doing his train thing.
I'd love to meet him. I'd actually love to meet him. If anybody knows him... Can you please tell him that the Wolf and I absolutely love him?
And I would just buy him, I'd literally just go, let his 100 quid make it pizzas whenever you want.
Okay. That. This is... I just... Oh, God. Right, do you want to do one more?
Let's do one more,
This is a quick one, actually. Let's do two more.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this one's quite a quick one. Hi, Wolf Owl and the Beautiful Swan. First of all, amazing podcast. We listen every Wednesday. This is, by the way, this is about, you want to talk about being happy?
Yeah.
I'm about to make you fucking delighted. You're about to feel really warm and lovely. I'm just going to tee that up. We love Ranganation, huge fans of League of Their Own, and love King Gary and waiting for next season. Hurry the hell up. As we are both huge fans, we wanted to share with you something we couldn't resist. We would like you to meet our two new kittens, who we named Romesh and Tom.
Wowzers! Where are we?
They've got two new cats. One's called Romesh, one's called Tom. How lovely. Oh, They've sent a photo, but obviously.
Yeah. Maybe you could put that up on your stream.
What stream?
Your Instagram stream.
You're right, Grandad. You can put it on one of your newfangled interweb.
Yeah, but that's the sort of thing that you should have. Like, oh, you know what my dream would be?
What?
If me and you could get a Christmas card made of us in Christmas jumpers with the cats on our laps.
Oh, that would be lovely. And do you know what? Actually, I'd love to meet these cats. We'd love to meet Tom and Rom, wouldn't we?
Yeah, maybe. I could hold Rom, you could hold Tom.
Yeah.
I bet Tom's up to our jigs, fucking running around and sort of.
I'd love it if they've got the same personalities as us. Just sort of Tom just following Rom around, irritating the shit out of him. Rom just padding him away with his little paw.
Every now and again, though, Rom comes over and licks Tom's arsehole to help him out.
Oh. Romesh turns up to the litter tray. Tom's curled out a big one right in the middle of it.
Oh, cats, man.
Can we just say thank you so much to Jack Shaw and Megan at Biddulph.
Oh, what
Jack
great,
Shaw the Frog great. And Megan the Unicorn.
Great names.
For sending
great
out.
Names as well.
Sweet okay, let's do one more. This is quite a serious one. Bit of a gear change.
Okay.
Wagwan, Wolf Owl and the Swan. I'm a 19-year-old who just lost my virginity. My experience was not as I imagined, to say the least. Was your first time the same? And how quickly do you get better at it? Love the pod, guys. Thank you for keeping us entertained in this rough time. Much love, the Tiger. Now, I picked this email because, well, I don't know what you're going to say, Tom, but I felt like this guy needs our help.
Yeah, well, personally, it was a very much an anticlimax. Even thinking back of it, I feel cold when I think about it. It was a horror. It's like you talked earlier about when we were playing golf and anything. It's a constant worry that you're not doing something right. And I think that stayed with you for quite a long time as well. And also, I mean, like, I suppose social media, I remember like the worry, the angst of people just talking about how bad you were. Because I remember, like, the first time I kissed someone, that was sort of like, that went around as playground gossip of quite how bad I was at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, and then sort of like, yeah, sex is the same thing. So I, if I'm going to be honest with you, you will get better at it, because that hopefully is the nature of, you know, sort of doing it more. But also I think one of the more important things is, you know, and this is not to sound too deep, but it's look at the other person involved in the situation and if you're bringing them joy and if they're enjoying it. Because although you might be looking at it thinking, oh, that wasn't that good for me and I didn't really think that was, I didn't put a good account of myself or I didn't enjoy that as much. So, you know, I think if you make the whole experience a little bit more about the other person, a little bit less about you, then I think that might be the way you end up getting a little bit better at it.
Yes, very, very nice advice, Tom. I would say, look, I don't know what your experiences are, but I do know that if you're 19, well, the problem is a lot of people think that sex is like porn. And so they think they need to be like smashing it from 27 different positions, lasting for an hour, your dick's 19 inches long. Do you know what I mean? And all that shit. And so you can get sort of caught up with all of that. But what Tom said is right. It's sort of, you will get better at it. When I lost my virginity, it was dreadful for everybody involved. But it just, that is just how it is. Do you know what I mean? And like, and actually you want to be in a position where you're kind of, I don't want to get all sort of like 50s parent about this, but you want to be in a position where you're having sex with someone and, you know, you're not thinking about what your performance is like. You're just, both of you are just trying to have a good time. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it should be like. But Tom's sort of stroking something there as if he's getting off.
No, I've got this.
Oh, your golf club. All right, fine. So listen, what I would say to you, Tiger, do not worry about it. Do not put yourself on any pressure. You will get better. Don't hold yourself against, you know, don't punish yourself with some standard that you've got to achieve where you're absolutely smashing it out like some sort of like sex god. Just, you know, enjoy yourself. It's a recreational activity.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, just chill out, bro.
Just chill out. Okay.
You know, in the time we've done this podcast, your sweat has completely dried.
Well, that's quite a disgusting thing to say at the end.
No, it's quite.
It means I can wear it again. It has to. Yeah, it has actually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode, guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll be hoping to smash out the bonus episodes.
On the weekly thing.
We're back to regular bi-weekly.
Yeah, hopefully.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Have a lovely weekend, guys. You deserve it.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.